coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Guest Liners Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Good morning and welcome to the Charleston Guest Liners Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right there in the heart of Daphne, Alabama. Randy Bergen on assignment. Mark Lasseter is at a class reunion, and boy, I'm telling you, he's got a lot of old players of his that are having a great reunion, and we're excited for Mark and hope that he has a safe journey there and a happy return home. Great football games last night across the state of Alabama, and we're going to start right now by giving you every score across the state of Alabama. Starting in 7A, Austin 41, James Clemens 30, Bob Jones 48, Sparkman 40, Central Phoenix City 55, Leo Montgomery 20, Davidson 28, Park Crossing 14, Enterprise 51, Dothan 28, Fairhope 26, Daphne 7, Foley 55, Alma Bryant 32, Florence 27, Huntsville 7, Grissom 17, Albertville 3, Hewitt Trustful 45, Vestavia Hills 37, Hooper 31, Tuscaloosa County 13, Mary Montgomery 37, Baker 20, Opelika 31, Smith Station 14, Prattville 38, Jeff Davis 20, Spain Park 35, Chelsea 21, and Thompson 51, Oak Mountain 0. In Class 6A, Buckhorn 38, Lee of Huntsville 20, Calera 31, Briarwood Christian 28, Carver Montgomery 33, Wetumpka 13, Center Point 29, Pinson Valley 22, Clay Chalkville 63, Huffman 0, Coleman 35, Columbia 6, Fort Payne 46, Hazel Green 14, Gadsden City 53, Mate Jemison 0, Gardendale 34, Minor 14, Hartsell 45, Athens 21, Hillcrest 47, Bessemer City 16, Homewood 31, Chilton County 10, Hueytown 32, McAdory 27, Jackson Olin 14, Woodlawn 12, Mountain Brook 35, Parker 6, Muscle Shoals 42, Decatur 28, Northridge 55, Central Tuscaloosa 0, Paul Bryant 23, Brookwood 18, Pelham 30, Benjamin Russell 20, and we're going to hear from Pelham head coach Mike Vickery a little later in today's PSR. Pike Road 40, Russell County 7, Pleasant Grove 35, Fairfield 0, Saraland 48, Baldwin County 7, Shades Valley 35, Pell City 29, Sidney Lanier 41, Stanhope Elmore 17, Spanish Fort 33, McGill Tulin 24, St. Paul's Episcopal 38, Robertsdale 14, Theodore 35, Blount 0. In Class 5A, Arab 56, Boaz 17, Beauregard 31, Elmore County 20, Carroll 42, Headland 8, Central of Clay County 48, Sylacauga 7, Charles Henderson 34, Eufaula 7, Demopolis 68, Jemison 22, Douglas 48, Crossfield 14, East Limestone 54, Lawrence County 13, Fairview 55, Brewer 13, Faith Academy 41, Pike Liberal Arts 0, Gulf Shores 49, Alberta 3, Hayden 41, Winona 21, Jasper 57, Carver Birmingham 20, Leeds 23, Alexandria 7, Lincoln 34, Springville 31, Marbury 35, Hopeville 12, Moody 42, St. Clair County 14, Pleasant Grove 35, Fairfield 0, Ramsey 56, John Carroll Catholic, 7. Rehoboth, 42. Greenville, 7. Scottsboro, 25. Sardis, 0. Selma, 29. Shelby County, 0. Tallahassee, 25. Valley, 7. UMS Wright, 42. BC Rain, 7. Viger, 22. LaFleur, 6. West Point, 21. Ardmore, 0. And Williamson, 20. Citronelle, 0. In Class 4A, American Christian, 27, West Blockton, 12, Andalusia, 49, Slocum, 0, Field County, 46, Montevallo, 0, Brooks, 24, Rogers, 21, Booker T. Washington, 36, Montgomery Academy, 21, Cherokee County, 60, Fultondale, 0, Claiborne County, 48, White Plains, 13, Corner, 20, Oak Grove, 12. Deschler remains undefeated under new head football coach at Deschler. Deschler, 45, Central LaFlorence, 21, Dora, 40, Hamilton, 8, Etowah, 48, Hansville, 7, Geneva, 35, Dale County, 7, Good Hope, 20, Asheville, 7, Hale County, 21, Dallas County, 12, Haddyville, 46, Curry, 6, Hanby of Roanoke, 48, Talladega, 3, Jackson, 55, Satsuma, 0, Jacksonville, 31, Munford, 13, Montgomery Catholic, 64, Bullock County, 0, and that's going to be some kind of matchup coming up in week 9. Montgomery Catholic travels to Andalusia to play Trent Taylor's Andalusia football team. Both undefeated. Northside, 20. Cordova, 19. Orange Beach, 35. Bayside Academy, 29. Priceville, 41. North Jackson, 14. Randolph, 5. DAR, 0. Sipsey Valley, 37. Hope, 6. St. John Paul Catholic, 27. New Hope, 20. St. Michael Catholic, 49, Wilcox Central, 6, and T.R. Miller, 39, Escambia County, 0. Westminster Christian, 70, Madison County, 42, West Morgan, 34, West Limestone, 3, Wilson, 33, East Lawrence, 21. When we return, we're going to give 3A, 2A, and 1A scores from all over the state of Alabama. Now, one of the things we wanted to remind you of this morning, folks, was that we're having a huge blood drive at Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai on the campus there on Tuesday, October the 11th. That's upcoming this Tuesday. You can go by there. They'll have all kind of treats for you. But we're in dire need of blood in Mobile and Baldwin County. So if you have the opportunity, please go by the Toyota Eastern Shore campus right there at exit 38, and let's support this blood drive because it's vital, and particularly for those people not only in Mobile and Baldwin County, but there's other areas of our state that are in dire need of blood. So hopefully you will get out and support that blood drive there at Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai, right there on the Eastern Shore campus at exit 38. And they'll feed you a good meal and take good care of you on Tuesday, October 11th. That's this coming Tuesday, right there on the campus of Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai. Also, Randy Bergen's golf show will follow at 10 o'clock this morning, Southern Fairways Golf. And you'll want to be sure to listen to that. One of the premier golf shows across the Southeast. He covers every aspect of golf, whether it be amateur, pro, men's and women's pro tour, high school golf, college golf. One of the finest golf shows you'll ever want to hear. It's on all of our stations all across the state of Alabama via Radio Alabama. And when we return, we'll give you those scores from 3A, 2A, and 1A. We're, you know, we still got about seven or eight teams around the state of Alabama that are still undefeated. One of them here in Mobile, the UMS Wright Bulldogs, Coach Terry Curtis. All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We're giving you all the scores across the state of Alabama. We got to 3A, so let's start with 3A. Alabama Christian 40, Prattville Christian 7, Beulah 29, Childersburg 26, Clements 46, Elkmont 18, Colbert County 28, Colbert Heights 12, Danville 49, Asbury 6, Excel 21, Thomasville 20, Geraldine 16, Westbrook 13, Gordo 35, Fayette County 0. That's a great win for Coach Gus Smith. Of course, Gus coached with Coach Steve Savarese and Coach Glenn Vickery at Daphne, and then went over to Mobile Christian, was a defensive coordinator for Coach Ronnie Cottrell. Just this year, took the Gordo job, and they have just about clinched 3A Region 5 there after a big win over Fayette County last night, or Thursday night, Fayette at Gordo. Gordo 35, Fayette County 0. Hillcrest Evergreen 44, Monroe County 16. Houston Academy 52, Northside Methodist 0. J.B. Pennington 55, Brindley Mountain 0. Madison Academy 49, Vinemont 7. Mars Hill Bible 56, Phil Campbell 0. Midfield 34, Tarrant 14. Mobile Christian 34, Cottage Hill Christian 14. Ohatchee 21, Hoke's Bluff 7. Hop 33, Daleville 7. Piedmont 45, Glencoe 10. Pike County 21, Providence Christian 7. Pisgah 41, North Sand Mountain 14. Plainview 33, Sylvania 30. Randolph County 41, Walter Welburn 14. St. James 37, Trinity Presbyterian 21. Sachs 56, Weaver 6. Southside Selma 52, Greensboro 30, Strawn 56, New Brockton 7, Winfield 62, Carbon Hill 0, and W.S. Neal 13, Bloomington 12. In Class 2A, Aliceville 52, Cold Springs 8, Harrington 49, Abbeville 0, B.B. Comer 44, Thorsby 16, Chickasaw 28, Fruitdale 22, Clark County 20, J.U. Blackshear 0, Cleveland 36, Gaston 6, Collinsville 41, Ider 12, Falkville 28, Red Bay 6, Fayetteville 14, Central Coosa 8, Francis Marion 38, Washington County 32, Fife 70, Sand Rock 40, Geneva County 28, Zion Chapel 12, G.W. Long 35, Cottonwood 28, Hatton 60, Sheffield 34, Island Home 36, Barber County 14, Isabella 34, Ranburn 7, Lamar County 21, Sullivan 20, Lynette 45, Lafayette 8, Lexington 52, Tanner 20, Luverne 28, Goshen 21, Real Town 48, Horseshoe Bend 9, Southeastern 14, Locust Fork 12, Spring Garden 28, Pleasant Valley 14, Tuscaloosa Academy 34, Winston County 8, Vincent 39, Woodland 0, West End 49, Holly Pond 26, Whiteburg Christian 36, Section 24, Wicksburg 48, Sampson 10. And in Class 1A, Central of Hainesville 40, Notasauga 0, Cherokee 34, Vena 8, Coosa Christian 41, Cedar Bluff 14, Decatur Heritage 49, Woodville 8, Donahoe 48, Talladega County Central 14, Elba 62, Georgiana 28, Florala 72, McKenzie 38, Hackleburg 50, Phillips 34, Houston County 42, Pleasant Home 21, Hubbardville 41, Berry 8, Kinston 35, Red Level 0, Leroy 54, Southern Choctaw 6, Lochipoca 22, Otagaville 18, Lynn 45, Brilliant 6, Maplesville 51, Billingsley 14, Marion County 38, Summerton Christian 7, McIntosh 24, Choctaw County 7, Meek 63, Shoals Christian 0, Millery defeated Shields 1-0 by forfeit, Pickens County 60, Holy Spirit 0, Ragland 38, Winterboro 8, R.C. Hatch 30, Marengo 6, Sweetwater 45, Keith 0, University Charter School 62, A.L. Johnson 28, Valley Head 34, Appalachian 28, Verbena 40, Calhoun 0, and Wadley 47, Victory Christian 0. That is the Walters Control Saturday morning scoreboard from Friday, Thursday and Friday night, week 8 in high school football. Boy, we've got just really week 7 if you really want to know via high schools, but with the 0 week, we'll count it as week 8. But we'll wrap the, all those scores up on the Walters Control High School Scoreboard right here on Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. You know, coaches and principals, are you ready to take your program to the next level? Create ways for your players to earn scholarships. Boost your support from surrounding communities and businesses. Simplify your online presence with TIM VP. That's TIM-VP. With social media marketing, highlight videos, weekly team content, live updates at your games, and more. Call Tim at 251-295-8743. Tim, VP, the MVP of digital marketing. Now, we talked about a little earlier, a bunch of undefeated teams still across the state of Alabama. One of those teams failed last night, and that was the Decatur Red Raiders as they played Muscle Shoals. And I can tell you right now what a football game that was. Had a chance to watch a little bit of it on the National Federation Network. Muscle Shoals blocked two punts, which was really the turning point of the game. I can tell you that. It was a heck of a football game in 6A last night at Ogle Stadium in Decatur. And I know we got a lot of those people from around Decatur that listen to our program. But boy, what a game you saw. I can tell you that. And when you look at it, you see that that's two powerhouse teams in 6A in the northern part of the state. And then coming up in week 9, we got a huge game here between Theodore and Sarah Land. And that should be some kind of football game. And when you think about the teams that we have here that are having great seasons, you got to look at the job that Eric Collier's doing over at Theodore. His team just continues to get better and better each week, and you won't see a more physical team. I can tell you right now, they get after you on both sides of the ball. They're well coached. Every position is well coached, and they are headed for a showdown in week 9 when they host Sarah Land out at Theodore High School. So Theodore is now 7-0, and when you look at their schedule, they have McGill Tula next week in week 8, and then in week 9 they have Sarah Land, and they have Sarah Land at home, and then they close their season with Helm Barnett's St. Paul's Episcopal team. But you look on the other side of that now, and you look at a Sarah Land team who's also undefeated, and after a big win over Baldwin County, 48-7, they have an open week next week, which I don't know if that's a big advantage for them, being open. The thing that they do have is if they have some nicks and bruises, they'll have a week to get those things healed. The great thing about you folks in Sarah Land and your football team is you got a young football team. I'm talking about a really, really young football team, and that should be some kind of matchup coming up in week 9 on October the 21st at Theodore's. You're listening to the Charleston Lanterns Gas Prep Sports Report. When we return, we're going to talk to Lee Kraft, talking about the life of Coach Don Creasy.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We are presented by our good friends at Alpha, and we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in beautiful Daphne, Alabama. And if you have any automobile problems or you want to find a new automobile, come on out and visit our folks right here at Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai. And we call it the campus because everything you want is right here. You can even sell your car here if you want to do that, and they'll pay you top dollar, according to that blue book, of course. But you can certainly get that right here on the campus. You know, you got every score in the state of Alabama from last night, and this past Tuesday, we lost, in my mind and in everything that I know about Coach Don Creasy, we lost a man who changed lives in every place he coached. And we lost him in a tragic automobile accident. And I don't know if the coaching profession in the Shoals and that area up there will ever be the same. So many people depended on Don Creasy for advice, and he mentored so many coaches. But it's a pleasure for us to welcome in one of his former players, currently the athletic director at Colbert County High School in Layton, Alabama, Mr. Lee Kraft. And Lee, thank you for taking time today to spend talking about a man who made a huge difference in your life and hundreds of others in North Alabama.
I appreciate you asking me to do this because it's something that, you know, for Coach Creasy, I have to do it. no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was definitely the guy that everybody looked to, the guy that everybody talked about, the guy that everybody radiated to. He was just that guy. He was my coach. He'll always be my coach. And I've had a few good ones that I've been around, but he was definitely my coach.
You know, when you talk about Don, and I can remember just sitting in a chair in Montgomery and just having just unbelievable, amazing talks with Don Creasy. And it just radiates with me the wisdom that he said, and not even trying to share wisdom. He just exactly. He just gave life lessons just about in every sentence he spoke, Lee. And there's got to be stories that just resonate with you.
Well, he was one of those guys that he came to Colbert County. I was 8 years old. I was, you know, doing this, doing that, playing baseball, doing this. So I decided I wanted to play some football, and was 8 years old, turned nine because we actually played for the state championship that year. I wanted, from that point, when they said Coach Creasy's here, Coach Manley had been here and he had quite a legacy himself. But when Coach Creasy came in 1978 and I saw what those guys did and how he turned our program from 8 years old, 9 years old, I wanted him to know my name. Because if that guy knows my name, I'm pretty important. and he took our program to heights that it has not, it hadn't seen. 126 wins in 12 years. That's averaging, you know, 10 and a half wins a year. And you play 10 games. That's right. All you're guaranteed.
That's it. Yep.
But he was a man of few words. Very few words, but like the old saying goes, he was like E.F. Hutton. When he talked, people listen, because if you didn't listen, I still pray for some of those guys that didn't listen.
You know, and that is that's another thing that struck me about him, because I was really a relatively young coach the first time I met Coach Creasy, and we started talking because my senior year in high school was Phil Gargis and Ozzie and Thad Flanagan. And he was an assistant on that team, and he started just sharing things about that team and the challenges that they faced, because they had so much talent that they wanted to make sure that they kept the ball in the right hands.
Right. And that's one thing that Coach was really good at doing. If you look at the teams that we had from 78 until 89 that he coached at Colbert County, if you're going to be at Leighton and you're going to play football, Coach Creasy said this years ago. He said, you don't have to be a man to play football, but if you're going to play football, you better be a man.
I love that.
it took me a while to figure that out, but I finally figured it out. But there were so many alpha males in our locker room, so many that took control, that led, but he did the best job of anybody of keeping everybody right there in the palm of his hand. He let the leaders lead when it was their time, but they also knew who was in charge.
That just sounds just like the man that I knew. And you played, if I'm not mistaken, maybe you were in 78, 79, is that right? Did you play with Ed West? Was Ed West was he on your team? Was he a junior when you were a senior?
No. I didn't play until the middle to late 80s. I was 84, 85, 86, 87. But the funny thing about Ed is Ed played 16 years in the NFL, played 4 years. He was all SEC at Auburn.
Right.
Ed didn't play football.
Really?
When Coach Creasy got there, he went and got Ed at his house and said, you're going to play football. And by golly, he played football, and he played for a long time.
Man, he sure did. And what an impression I'm sure that made on him when Coach comes to his house to get him. And I think he played on that team with Reggie Goodloe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that was some
kind of team there. But
here's a story about Ed. And years ago, we had coaches from every school in and out every Friday. But there was a good friend of mine that would come up every Friday. I became good friends with him through the years. Coach Creasy would look at him on a Friday night. He was a coach at a neighboring college. He said, there's fixing to be a collect phone call on that telephone right there, about 4:35 on a Friday afternoon. He said, it's going to be from Ed West, wherever they're playing. They may be in Baton Rouge. They may be in Gainesville. They may be wherever. Ed West would call Coach Creasy every Friday just to talk, just to catch up for a minute, and just to wish him good luck.
Wow.
So what kind of impression, this guy's in college, and then he goes and plays for the Packers for several years, but he calls every Friday just to check with Coach Creasy.
Wow. Boy, that's something. And that tells you what kind of impression Don Creasy made on Ed West. And that's that is really – I want to go back to Tuesday. And you get the word of the accident, and you've lost Coach Creasy. Kind of go through that segment of your life, because it'll be something that will always be a part of your life, the rest of your life.
You know, there are people in your life that are very instrumental in doing things. You have mentors, you have parents, I've had several. I've had a Little League baseball coach. He passed away a few years ago. I've had two great uncles who were giants of men. Jimmy Moore, who mentored me when I first got into coaching, And then Tuesday, I've got two heroes. I've got two mentors left. My father, Coach Creasy. I get the call. This gentleman calls me, and he said, "Hey, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you what's going on." And I'm like, "Okay." He tells me what has happened, and I said, "Now you got the wrong person." I said, "There's no way that the strongest man that I've ever known in my life has had an accident and that's happened." I said, "There's no way." So we talked for a minute, and the first person that I called was my brother.
Yeah.
My brother was a quarterback on our 85 state championship team.
Right.
My brother was headed from work to an appointment, and he had to pull over on the side of the road, and we had an emotional moment there because he meant so much to us. And I called a couple of our coaching in coach's coaching tree.
Right.
I called a really good friend of mine, Steve Mask, and let him know.
Yeah.
And I let our head coach, Scotty Hanna, know. And it's one of those days that will live in infamy in my life forever because he was such a giant of a man.
Yeah.
And as I got older, he wasn't that big of a guy to me. when I played for him, he was a giant of a man. And I can tell you this. He cast a big shadow.
Yep.
And he has a huge footprint that'll never be filled.
Yeah.
There's nobody today that does the things the way he did them. People talk about, and I'm not an Alabama fan.
Hey, let me cut you off right there because we're going to a hard break. But I want to tell you how much I appreciate you taking time out today to spend with us to talk about a man who is very, very tall on that tree, and Don Creasy. And I really look forward to Sunday night when we're going to do this with your teammates and friends. And
yes, sir.
That'll be special. Thank you so much for taking time out today. God bless. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. I'll talk to you this weekend. Have a good day.
Take care, Lee.
Charleston Gas Lantern's Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
Look out behind you. JoJo's got his gun.
You know, I wanted to share that with AC. Wanted to share some Boz Skaggs with him, get a little bit of Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Antonio Coleman, good morning,
doing?
Good afternoon, good everything, pal. Everything smells rosy over at Williamson High School after a big victory, 20-0 yes. Thursday night.
Yes, sir. We're still in the process of building it where I want to get it, but it was definitely a great win last night.
You know, when I watch you sometimes on the sideline, having coached against you and Terry Curtis always reminding us, we're going to run right at Antonio because there ain't no way we can outrun him. I can promise.
So, I remember hearing that a lot.
I can see sometimes on the sideline as a former player and a dadgum good player, you get a little frustrated because you've taught them one way and you want them to do it that way, but doggone it, sometimes they just have to do it their own way, don't they?
And effort we put in to develop these kids the right way. And, you know, they don't get it right all the time. But like I said before, my saying is do it right all the time, not some of the time. You know, and that's the standard that we've set.
You know, that's obvious when you watch your football team play because they swarm to the ball and they play defense like there is no tomorrow. But when you look at your game the other night, last night really, or Thursday night, you look at your running back, Ellis McGaskin. I thought he had a wonderful game. Jeremy Williams, Keith Donald, those guys just looked like that they were really having fun on the offensive side of the ball. But where the real fun was on that defensive side of the ball. That's got to be something that you're really taking a lot of pride in over there with your players.
Man, I love it, and it's great. You know, I laid down a solid foundation when I was calling defense. You know, but once I moved up to the head coach, I promoted my linebacker coach, my defensive line coach, to defensive coordinator and ODC. So they make my job so much easier, man, where I don't even have to sit in on meetings. They come up with a game plan, and I trust and believe in everything that they put in. They're doing a great job with these kids.
You know, Antonio, we're talking to Antonio Coleman, the head football coach at Williamson. Of course, if you're from Mobile, you know that name. Outstanding football player there at Williamson. Went on and had a great career at Auburn University, and now he's coming back and giving back is really what he's doing, giving back to his community and coaching this football team. Antonio, when you got there, when they said, we want you to take this job, what? Tell me a little bit about the emotion that you went through when you accepted this job.
Man, I was kind of scared, to be honest with you. You know, I started off as a defensive line coach. The next 5 years, I was a defensive coordinator. So it was kind of scary to me in the sense of, you know, me being a head coach and me running the program kind of frightened me a little bit.
Carl Jackson being one of them. Reached out to a couple of head coaches, team chiefs, guys of that nature, and talked with them. It got me in the right direction and taking that job. I just feel like everything is coming into place as far as the coaching staff go, as far as players go. And I'm just trusting the process, man, and doing it how I would do it. You know, I've learned over the years to do something the right way, the wrong way. So once you learn that way, you know how exactly it's your program.
Hey, Antonio, if you're on a speakerphone, kind of turn that off and let's just go phone to phone, okay? We got a bad connection there.
Yeah, here we go.
There you go. There you go, Antonio. Thanks a bunch for that. We'll talk just a little bit about the defense in this football game. I don't think that you gave up over 50 yards of offense as far as Citronelle was concerned the other night. That had to be pleasing to you.
It was, you know, but once I go back and watch the film, we still had a lot of missed opportunities. And that's what we try to limit because, you know, I mean, competition gets stiffer and stiffer every week. The guys, they flew around, they had fun. My linebacker core has been with each other since seventh grade. So we've been working with these kids a while, and they understand that they love winning football games and they love playing football. They love hitting people, man. You got to have kids that love physical contact and love to hit people. And when you take pride in hitting people and going out there and shutting people out, you know, that's the outcome you'll get. You know, smart, disciplined, fast football.
We're talking to Antonio Coleman, the head football coach at Williamson High School, who had a big victory, a big 5A Region 1 victory over Citronelle. And as you look at your region, you're in a region that's just loaded with UMS and Vigor and Gulf Shores and Faith Academy. And what you guys are really doing is you're fighting as hard as you can fight to find a spot in those playoffs. And
you know, that's the crazy thing about it, man. You look at our region, man, it's like the SEC, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to the coach from Charles Henderson. He was like, man, y'all like the SEC down there. You got us, UMS, Faith Academy, Gulf Shores, Vigor. I mean, who's going to be the odd team out?
Right.
All of us have great teams. You know, and a few of us have suffered tough losses. You know, UMS is still undefeated. And Terry Curtis does a great job with those guys. So that's the standard where everyone is trying to get.
You know, I think the big game for you really now is this one coming up next week, this coming Friday, when you host Faith Academy, but you're going to play that game at Baker. So really you don't have a home field advantage of sorts. You're going to play that on a neutral field. That's got to be kind of I don't know if it's a problem, but it's a situation where you have to travel to play a home game.
And that's kind of tough, man, you know, and not being able to play at last stadium.
Yeah.
In which I don't know all of the technicalities of what's going on. Maybe another game there or something. But that's going to be real tough with playing at Baker, which is essentially Faith Academy's backyard.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why it's so vital and so important for us to get an on-campus stadium, you know, and hopefully we'll break ground soon on that. So I'm excited for that part of it, man. So hopefully we won't run into this issue next year.
Well, I can tell you this. the way your kids are playing football, the way that the passion that they're playing the game, it's exciting, Antonio. And I want to tell you how proud we are of you. I'm proud of you, doggone it, because you're an Auburn man. And I'm telling you right now, I love to see the way your kids are playing. Best of luck to you the rest of the year. Get you a couple of days rest this weekend. And just go get them at Faith Academy next week. I know that's a big game as far as region is concerned, pal.
Most definitely, man. I appreciate you guys reaching out. You know, I enjoy it every time I get on this show. War Eagle and why not Williams?
Take care. That's good stuff. That's Antonio Coleman, the head football coach at Williamson High School. And, boy, they're having a good year. They're 6-2 regular season, 4-2 in the region. Big game next week against Jack French's Faith Academy.
Charleston Guest Liners Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lessiter.
All right, welcome back to the PSR. Randy Bergen's on assignment, and Mark Lessiter is traveling to a reunion, so we're just going to bounce all around the state of Alabama today and talk about some of the big wins. Thursday night, we don't get to cover those nearly as much as we like to. And one of the guys that we really like to follow here at PSR is the son of one of our dear friends and the guy that we think the world of, Glenn Vickery. His son, Mike, is now the head coach at Pelham High School and had a big, big win Thursday night over the Benjamin Russell Wildcats. Smitty Grider's taking the Benjamin Russell job, and tell you right now, that's just a big, big win for Mike and those guys there at Pelham High School. And as you look at that that season, as they're progressing, you look, he's in 6A Region 3, and a huge win there, 30-20 over Benjamin Russell High School. Mike, welcome to PSR, and thank you for taking some time out today to chat with us about your victory Thursday night over Benjamin Russell.
Absolutely, Rick. Thank you for having me on.
Let's talk just a little bit about the football game. Tell us how it went and how things transpired as the game progressed.
Well, I think you mentioned Smitty Grider, who does a heck of a job wherever he is, and just a first class guy and coach, and has really turned Benjamin Russell around really, really quickly. And they've been playing really good football, and coming into it, it was a huge region. We're in a region that has a lot of parity, and every region wins a big region win, obviously. And we were able to come out, had some breaks early. We're able to stop, get them off the field in some red zone situations where they didn't get points, and then as the game went on, just made a few plays, to kind of stretch that lead out a little bit and got it out to 13, and was able to put it away in the fourth quarter.
Well, you guys are on a three-game win streak here, and of course you go to Homewood. They come to you. Ben Bergeson and the Homewood Patriots come to you next week at Pelham. But really want to talk about some of those young men that have really stood out for you, the guys coming in as a new head coach in your school. There's got to be that time where you really begin to see that they're accepting, they're adopting what you're trying to sell them. Where did you begin to see this transition take place where they're really buying into the program that you're trying to put in there at Pelham?
Well, I think Tom Causey was a great high school football coach in the state for a long time and established a culture that we didn't try to come in and change. We just try to build on it. And these kids, really accepted it from day one. And, there's a lot of, growing pains along the way. The new offensive scheme, new defensive scheme, and a few new faces in the on that coaching staff. And, it took us a little bit. We didn't have a spring training. It took us a little bit offensively to kind of kind of figure it all out. But, you know, just out of a great group of kids, good senior class that, you know, that has shown great leadership. And, you know, each week we've gotten better. Craig Hall is a phenomenal coach, been coaching for 40 years, maybe 50, 60, I don't know, a long, long time. And at the high school and college level, and he's handling our defense. And that defensive staff, we knew we would have to be really good defensively early. While we went through some offensive growing pains as we kind of changed from a triple option offense to what we run, and they've just done a great job of keeping us in the game, and we've started making some plays that we weren't making probably early that, you know, finally able to make with the ball in the air.
When you look at your region, you have Homewood coming to your place next Friday night. And they're the only undefeated team in your region. You're 3-1. They're 4-0. Talk just a little bit about this region and what you foresee down the line. I know we just take it one game at a time, but you always have to keep in mind we want to be one of those four. We prefer to be one of those two that play at home to start with. So talk just a little bit about this region and the strength of it.
Well, again, a lot of parity in it. You know, there's the 7-team region and kind of that goal is to get to that 3 wins in the region and pretty much get you in the playoffs. So we were able to at least get to that 3-win mark, barring some unforeseen kind of tiebreaker scenario. But this is a big one. I mean, Homewood's been really good. We lost a tough one in overtime to Helena. They're sitting there with one loss. Homewood was able to beat them, and if we can find a way to beat Homewood on Friday, a really good football team, obviously great coaches there. We will have an opportunity to kind of force that 3-way tie and see what happens in that last week. And you know, as you know, in high school football, anything can happen. So we want to get this next one, and I think that puts us in a good spot if we can.
Talk a little bit about your out-of-region schedule, because you guys play some really good football teams out of region. You open up with Jackson Olin and then went to Oak Mountain. And in the final game of your out-of-region schedule, you play Spain Park. So you've had some real tussles with some good football teams in out-of-region contest.
Yeah, as good as Tom Causey was as a high school coach, he didn't do us any favors in scheduling. 3 of our 4 non-region games were 7A opponents. And early on, you know, you're just trying to find your way, with Jackson Olin and Oak Mountain, and had two close, really close games, gave up some special teams plays there that probably, if we win those two games. But both very good, you know, well-coached football teams, and Jackson Olin is super, super athletic. And was able to beat Chelsea in 7A program now and in week 5, and then we'll finish up with Spain Park. So, in this area, and surrounded by so many good programs, you don't have to go very far to play good football programs. Spain Park's 10 minutes down the road, Oak Mountain, Molina, Thompson, they're all within 10 minutes of each other. So you don't have to go very far to play them, and they're all, well, you know, really good coaches and communities that love football.
You know, Mike, one of the things I think that has been a concern to all coaches all over the state of Alabama, as I've talked to coaches on our nightly program, has been the way we're seeing so many kids transferring from one program to another. And you guys live in that area where there's so many schools and there's so many really good players. And I would imagine one of the hardest things to do is to keep your own players. You have to recruit your own players just about daily now, even in high school. I know they do it in college more, but boy, in high school now with these kids just wanting to transfer every day, is that a problem at all? Is that something that you've seen over the state? You've been in Tuscaloosa in that area. You know all about the area here in Baldwin County. Is that a situation that you're concerned with?
Well, I think you had a couple good points there. I mean, number one, we have to recruit our own guys. And by recruiting, we feel that the best way to recruit our guys is just to do things the right way, you know, promote our kids, show them that we care, love them, try to get them, to meet their goals, whatever those goals may be, post high school. And if we do things the right way, you know, the kids will buy in and put program over that individual decision. However, there's a transient society that can move and do different things. You know, you can't control some of that. And and we're going to, you know, do it the right way, always communicate. And you know, anyone who, you know, decides to go elsewhere, you know, we're always going to you know, do whatever we can to help them as well, because we're about helping kids and doing things the right way, no matter if they play for us, no matter if they play for someone else. You know, we want kids to be successful, and that's what this business is about. And you know, we do, you know, Pelham, we haven't had that issue. We haven't had anyone leave the last few years to go anywhere else. And I think it's a testament to what Pelham's been able to do and prior to me getting here, and that's what we plan on keeping up.
Talking to Mike Vickery, the head football coach at Pelham High School, and we got about 30 seconds here. And Mike, I know that just about every game you play, your mom and dad are right there with you. I can only imagine that Coach Vick and Nancy are right there and trying to do everything they can to help Lindsay with the kids.
Yeah, they've been great supporters of you know, my, you know, career as a player, athlete, as a coach, you know, they do a lot, and you know, they love being around. They, you know, Coach Vick does it for being around kids again. Yep. and just trying to be a part of people's lives and trying to better people's lives, and so it's always good to have good help and that support's always welcome.
Hey, we appreciate it, Mike. Give our love to Lindsay. God bless. Best of wishes the rest of the year, pal.
Absolutely. Hey, thank you, Rick.
Boy, take care.
Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and it's always great to visit with Ham Barnett, the head football coach at St. Paul's. And this guy's had a great win Thursday night over Robertsdale, 39-14. And Ham, welcome to PSR this morning. And, you know, I watched your game on TV, that overtime game. And boy, your kids played so doggone hard and gave everything that they could give. And I wondered, I said, well, how are they going to react after this loss, a big region game? But you guys, you coaches, did a great job getting the kids back up and to get a win in the manner that you did against Robertsdale over in Robertsdale, which is not the easiest place in the world to play. So congratulations on that win, pal.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was you know, something we've been really preaching this year is consistency. And you know, actually, you know, the game before Spanish Fort, we, you know, pretty much got blown out by Faith Academy. And I think our kids, when they're overconfident, you know, because they beat them every year that they've been there. And so, you know, after that game, it was just kind of, you know, trying to figure out what we could do to motivate the team. And, you know, my biggest message for them was just to have fun. You know, they're high school kids. You know, most – got one, you know, kid going to college next year to play college football. But most of those kids are going to go to college and, you know, just live the college life and get an education. And, you know, I just talked to them last week in the Spanish Fort week about just being a kid and having fun, you know, just going week to week, having a great experience and making memories. And the feel of that game, before the game, there was not a lot of nervousness. There was not a lot of talking. It was just really relaxed. And, you know, our kids played as hard as they could. And I think they proved to themselves that they could play with anybody, playing with the Spanish Fort team that's given Theodore and Sarahland all they wanted. And then, you know, coming off that game and, you know, a quick turnaround playing on a Thursday night, I was kind of worried just going in, you know, how they respond. And we started a little slow in the first quarter, but in the second quarter we really hit our stride. And I was really proud of our kids' effort. And it's good to, you know, to have an off night tonight on a Friday night.
You know, when you look at this football team, man, we're talking to Ham Barnett, the head football coach at St. Paul's. And you know, you've been a head coach before, and you've seen the trials and tribulations of coming in to as a new head coach after you've already been on the staff and running the defense there for Steve for like you did. How was the transition for you becoming the head coach at St. Paul's?
It was, you know, it actually the transition was pretty smooth. Just knowing the community, knowing the kids, knowing the administration. You know, most of the parents there now, you know, around my age are just a little bit older. So I kind of grew up in the Spring Hill area and knowing a lot of people too. And, you know, my wife's an alumni of St. Paul's and she teaches there as well. And all my kids go there. So that transition was smooth. But also, you know, kind of putting my own little spin on things and things I thought we needed to work on, especially in the off season. And the kids came in, they did everything. They've done everything I've asked them to do. You know, they've practiced hard. We've changed a little bit of way we've practiced. And just, you know, the relationships with the kids is, you know, was the easiest part of the transition. And still, you know, as the head coach and sitting at a different desk in a different office, man, the best time of my day is when those kids, after they get into their workout, just come in and talk life with me. And, you know, that's kind of what it's all about. And, you know, sometimes I lose, you know, sight of that, and we as competitors lose sight of that. But it really comes down to relationships and the memories you make with those kids and, you know, something that can take with them for a lifetime.
You know, it looks like Anthony Jones and Drew Williamson have really come onto their own and have really just kind of just everything's fitting in for those two guys. It seems like every time I see y'all play or watch you, those two guys really stand out just to me.
They do, and that's something, you know, early on in the year when we played UMS at the beginning of the season, we had Tank as Anthony Jones,
right,
his nickname. And we were playing him at like the Jack linebacker. And, you know, he still kind of had some middle schooler in him where he's just trying to make every play instead of playing his technique like we wanted. And Drew was, you know, mixing in at running back and playing inside linebacker. And after the Fairland week, I just kind of decided we're going to move Tank to the Mike linebacker and we're going to move Drew to as our full-time running back. And I feel like once we did that, that's when our teams really, you know, gained a lot of confidence. You know, Tank, you know, averaging about 10 tackles. Last night he had a pick six. And he also caught a ball on a screen pass for 50 yards. And then Drew, you know, every game has had over 100 yards rushing, and, you know, he has one or two touchdowns a game. So those guys are really two guys that we really depend on.
We're talking to Ham Barnett, the head football coach at St. Paul's. And one of the things as coaches, especially as a head coach, Ham, one of the hardest things for me to ever do was to try to find a way to get those kids in the game that so richly deserved to play, but you really were hesitant to put them in because you didn't want to give them a bad taste in their mouth because they just weren't quite ready to play. But you had a chance last night to you had a 32-0 lead at halftime, so that allowed you plenty of time to play some of those reserves. That's got to be a great feeling for a head coach.
It is, and there, you know, something I do too is, like, you know, we kind of have a grading system in the off season, you know, by how they when they show up, how hard they work, you know, they're on time, just little things. And, you know, I'm always going to reward kids who do the things the right way, do everything we ask them to do. They work hard in the weight room. They're the first people there. They clean up after themselves. They just do all the little things. And so even in games that's not 32-0, we have a few kids that we mix in on special teams just to get them some playing time. Because, man, it's still high school football, and these kids work too hard, you know, as long as they do, to not get some kind of reward. And, you know, last night we were able to put in some of our JV players, and they get some Friday night touches. Like, you know, for example, Bay Lane, he's a freshman, played running back for us last night and had a touchdown. I think he had 7 carries for about 50 yards. And Anthony Frazier's another one, another running back we got to get in there as a freshman to get some play on Friday night. And our offensive and defensive line too. You know, we played just about everybody last night, so it was a lot of fun to see our young guys play on a Friday night.
Talking to Ham Barnett, the head football coach at St. Paul's, and you know, Ham, I think one of the things that we ask all of our coaches, all of our first year head coaches, but you've been a head coach, but I'm going to ask you anyway on our nightly show. We always ask, what is the big difference for you personally in being the head coach as compared to being a coordinator?
Well, the time. I mean, the time more than anything. And, you know, dealing with everything with the program too. You know, there's a lot of people involved in the program. You know, at St. Paul's, you know, you got your administrators, you got your board members, you got your parents, you know, and then you got your players. And then you also got to, you know, coach your coaches.
Right.
And so just being overall, you're basically like a CEO of a business. And just trying to put people in the right spot and, you know, trust in the people that you hire to. That's something that, you know, I was really thankful for. You know, two guys I can really speak to that for was, you know, Eric Collier let me coach football. You know, he hired me to do a job, and so that's what I really – and Steve Mask, you know, he hired me as a defensive guy. He called the defense for a number of years as a head coach, and he brought me in, and he really left me alone and let me call the plays and let me put in my defense. And so that's something that I learned now as a head coach again is, like, you know, you hire people to do a job, you know, keep them accountable to their job, encourage them to do their job, and trust them, you know. And so that's the biggest part is, you know, when you're a coordinator, you're basically trusting yourself to make the right call, you know, do the breakdown correctly, and you might have two or three on the staff to help you out. But now you're trusting everybody on the staff. You give them an outline of what to do, and they do it. And so that's been the biggest difference. And also, you know, I've been real involved with our Youth Development League program, the third through sixth grade program at St. Paul's, and revamping that and putting Thomas Smith in charge of that and, you know, getting the right people in there to coach and getting our scheme down so it's seamless when they go to middle school. And so, you know, every night I get home around 9 o'clock because I'm at a third grade game or a sixth grade game or a middle school game. And so the adjustments too for my wife and our three young kids, you know, they're like asking me, my kids are asking me, is football over yet? I'm like, no, still got a few more weeks. But that's been the biggest adjustment, but they've been great with it. And the great thing is, you know, having all of them on the same campus and getting to go see them anytime during the day, it's been a huge blessing for me as well.
Well, I can tell you when Steve Mast allows somebody else to call defenses, that tells you he has the utmost respect for you. I can promise you've been knowing him way too many years to know how much he loves doing that. And so that's a huge compliment. Ham, thank you so much. And thank you for the spirituality that you put in a high school program. It's huge important to us here at PSR. And I know how where that is in your life. And that's hugely important to us too. And thank you for doing that. God bless. Take care. Sir. And we'll see you soon, Ham.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for everything.
God bless.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
You know, Dawn, I can't cut Boz Skaggs off. Of course, Randy is on assignment, and Mark Lassiter is at a reunion, so we got to let Boz play a little bit. I know Gus Smith won't mind that at all, but I do want to tell you a little bit about pay a little bill here. You know, if you do business, and you do business with the government in any shape, form, or fashion, we've got a guy here in Mobile that can help you in a lot of ways. If you've really been struggling with a problem with your business and you just don't know what direction to turn, give our buddy Braxton Counts a call. Braxton will do everything in the world to help you solve any issues that you might have with government, with businesses that you've just absolutely just can't find a solution to. So, when that problem arises, you want to be sure to give Braxton Counts a call because he has got all kind of connections in Washington, D.C. and Montgomery, Alabama. So give Braxton a call at 251-709-0920. We're all going to have issues and problems anytime we deal with our businesses that are relative to the government. And so Braxton will do everything he can to help you solve those issues. That's Braxton Counts, 709-0920. We are so proud of some of the guys that we've coached and been around most of our life. And one of the guys that most of us around the Daphne area are super proud of is a young man by the name of Gus Smith. Gus kind of started his coaching years ago as a volunteer and worked his way up to a defensive coordinator with Ronnie Cottrell over at Mobile Christian, and just recently this year accepted the head football job at Gordo. And I was talking to my son, and he said, Daddy, that's a good job. He said, you know, and this is Gus's first job. And I said, well, you know, as a head coach, he said, Dad, that's his first job as a head coach, and he's going into a lion's den. And boy, I'm telling you, if anybody could handle a lion's den, it's Gus Smith. So Gus jumped in there at Gordo, and his team is just playing amazing right now. And they're in 5A Region 5, and they beat the undefeated team in that region this past week. They beat Fayette County 35-0, and we want to welcome Gus into Prep Sports Report. Gus, congratulations on a great win Thursday night, pal.
Thank you, Coach. It was a good one.
You guys must be playing some tremendous defense, Gus. I'm telling you, to shut out a Gordo team, that really surprised me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it took a little bit for us to get going up there. Just, you know, a lot of new defense and stuff we put in, and, you know, a lot of new terminology and language, and those guys are used to playing Bear Zero forever, so every little thing we did was new to them all. But it's coming around, though. Looked really good last night.
You know, when you're looking at this game, you got a team that's undefeated. You're going to their place. There's got to be some real momentum that they have on their side when you go into their place, and you jumped on them pretty quick. And you know, that's a credit to you and your coaches. Brax Garrison seems like he's playing mighty good at quarterback. Had 3 rushing TDs and 1 touchdown pass. That's got to be a kid you got to be mighty proud of.
I'm definitely proud of Brax. You know, I keep saying he's going to be the 3A player of the year. You know, I just try to get him out there and a little publicity. He transferred in this year from Tuscaloosa County, so he's been used to playing against, you know, the big boys in 7A. So, you know, not to take anything away from us in 3A, but I think the game slowed down for him a little bit, and he's finally learned our offense. And, you know, you look out there, and he's the biggest guy out there. He's 6'4", about 225, so he's a big old kid, and he's a tough kid. You know, he's raised by a single dad, and so he's different than a lot of kids these days.
You know, adjusting to a new offense, too, and coming into a new system, that's got to be something that was tough on Brax, but it seems like that he kind of bought into the culture that you guys tried to bring there into a program that's really a tradition-rich program at Gordo, Gus. And so that's always good to see a young man be able to adopt and to adjust the way Brax has adjusted to y'all's system.
Oh, for sure. You know, he was following up Tanner Bailey, and, he signed with South Carolina, and they got in Coy Chapman. So there's been a long line of great quarterbacks at Gordo, and he fits that mold also. And I think they talked to him a little bit. And, you know, our offensive coordinator, Bo Chapman, does a great job, and he's just so organized. And, you know, Brax definitely bought in, and, you know, we're really proud of him there.
Let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. You had 3 players that made 10-plus tackles Thursday night, and Blaine Chandler had 14 tackles. Cameron Lark had 12, plus he had a big sack, I noticed. And then Max Stevenson, who made that 60-yard touchdown interception, had 10 tackles. You know, that's unusual to find 3 players that are making 10-plus tackles on that side of the ball.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Max Stevenson, he's kind of our, you know, he's our leader over there, and you know, see him have that 60-yard pick when it was 7-0 right there, and they were driving on us. That was a huge play in the game. And, you know, we got in the locker room last night, and the coach's office and stuff, we started talking about it. And, I think that's the play that changed the game. And, you know, Blaine's our leader also. He gets us set up, and he calls the defense for us. And, you know, those guys are, I think, you know, they heard the defense works well. They heard I was a great defense coordinator, and they heard this. But now I think in the past couple of games, you know, I think they're actually seeing it live and in person for themselves. So those guys are buying in, and, you know, we're excited about, you know, where we're going. You know, Coach Tally Haynes at Mobile Christian, he always tells me, just peak at the right time, just peak at the right time. And I'm excited about that because I think that's what we're doing right now.
Gus, when you went to Gordo, what did you take from the different places you've been? Of course, you did a lot of volunteering at Daphne, and then you spent a lot of time at Mobile Christian. What did you pick up from those places that you took to Gordo?
Good question. Yeah, so, you know, Coach Savory's a little bit. Like, yep. I said, as a volunteer assistant, and I played for him. So I think just loving players probably from Coach Savarese and you guys, because that whole staff when I was in high school, we just, you know, we felt like we were really close to y'all. So when you did something wrong, it wasn't that we did something wrong, as we let y'all down, you know. And so I think just loving players and really getting to know them, you know, with Coach Vickery, you know, at Daphne, coaching under him, and he was just really organized and really structured, and you know, he put the long hours in over there. So probably just hard work from him, and with Coach Cottrell, probably just being really personal with everybody and getting to know everybody also, and making sure you have as many people involved in the program as you can, because you know, the more people you have and invest in the program, the more people that care about it, you know, the more things you can get done. And you know, I also spent a year under Ham Barnett over at Cottage Hill,
right,
in 2014, and me and Ham were both young, and Ham's fiery. So with him, I learned a lot about defense. So he's kind of my X's and O's mentor, and I bounce ideas off of him a lot still. And I think it was just a great mixture of coaches that I've been around. And I also learned a lot from Tally Haynes coaching baseball at Mobile Christian.
You've been around some real winners, that's for sure, and people that were winners in life too. You talk about Ham Barnett. That's a guy that he does it right, and that's good that you mentioned him. Matter of fact, we just had him on right before you, as a matter of fact, on PSR. So that's two good ones. Now, when you look at Region 5 standings, it's got to be real pleasing to you to know you're 5-0, and you got one more game, and that's with Oakman. And if I'm not mistaken, you got to travel to Oakman. And so where does that put y'all in that region, or is it already decided, you think?
I think we still have to beat Oakman to kind of sew it up. Oakman only has one loss. They kind of are playing their region games more at the end of their schedule. So I think we still need to beat them. And, you know, I definitely think we're in the driver's seat right now. We kind of control our own destiny. And you know, we'll cross over with the Piedmont region in the first round. So we're definitely keeping an eye on those guys at Westminster Christian and Hoke's Bluff and Geraldine. Trying to stay away from Piedmont and Morris Hill as long as we can.
That's a good matchup you guys have got there, Steve Smith in that region. It looks like you're going to be away from him a little bit, so that's a good thing too. And Morris Hill as well. But I don't think your team's going to back up from anybody. I want to take this time to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about Future Ones, your company, you and Trent Massey's company, because it's such a wonderful company. We got about a minute here. If you'll talk just a little bit about Future Ones.
Yeah, Future Ones is a company, you know, it's getting more and more popular. You know, we're the corporate sponsor of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And, you know, sometimes I live a confusing life because, you know, I want to be known as a head football coach, but I also want to help coaches with our cloth, you know, and the equipment. We're, you know, our company does full team sales. You know, we can provide anything, and, you know, we kind of hang our hat on quick turnaround times and, you know, good customer service. And, you know, we'll mess it up just like anybody, but we try to, you know, be personal and fix it for people as quick as we can. But, you know, we're getting some steam right now, and, you know, our product's been out there for 5 or 6 years now, so I think people are starting to gain a little trust in it.
Well, you just got to go to Future Ones. You can go on your website. You can get online and give you all the information, right?
Yep, www.futureones.com, or you can give me your train of call, cell phones. You can see that on the website, yep. Also.
All right, Gus, congratulations. Enjoy the weekend. God bless. We're really pulling for you, pal. Really proud of you. Take care.
Thank
Gus
you.
Smith.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Gus Smith, the head football coach at Gordo.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile, is the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, I was taken aback when I got that phone call Tuesday night about Coach Don Creasy. And I think sometimes coaches are misinterpreted or people don't see the side of them that they really are, because they see them on a Friday night or they see them coaching or maybe getting on to a player at some point in time and trying to encourage them. And people mistake that sometime for, I guess, negative discipline. So I look back into some of the stuff that I'd talked about over the years, and I wanted to share this today because there's a lot of broken hearts in North Alabama, especially around Layton. And when we talked to Lee Kraft today, one of the things that, you know, you could just hear it in his voice talking about all the memories that he would have of his coach, and he will always be his coach, and that was Don Creasy. So kind of want to send this out to all my coaching buddies that kind of have a broken heart right now after the death of one of ours, a guy that made a difference in a lot of lives for a lot of years, Don Creasy. I went back and started thinking about the summer of 1971 was a great one for my buddies and I. It was a time when we were just now beginning to grow into our bodies and become athletes, and really thought we had a chance to do something special at Sylacauga High School. We had a great football coach in Coach Tom Calvin with some assistants like Buddy Hammonds and Earl Lewis. And we really thought it was going to be, and knew it was going to be, the next 2 years were going to be great years. It was right before my junior year in high school, and I was 16, could drive, and what could possibly be better than that? I remember spending most of my daylight hours during the week working with my dad on his Nabisco cookie route. And I would get up early every morning. I'd get ready to go, and we'd jump in his Chevrolet, and we'd go all over our part of Alabama stocking stores. And I can remember one particular song that was number one on the charts that Dad Buttercup used to let me listen to the radio on the stations that I wanted to listen to, because he was going to certainly put me to work. And one of the songs that I would hear several times during the day was How Do You Mend a Broken Heart by the Bee Gees. Now, I've always loved the Bee Gees, and a lot of my buddies now at school call me sappy, and because I love that kind of music. But I was greatly saddened by the untimely death of Maurice Gibb when he died. But little did I know that one day we would do a devotional about their hit song. You know, it really is a good question. How do you mend a broken heart? Because, you know, the world is full of them, and that's for sure. You know, in education, we have seen firsthand the results of broken hearts, broken lives, deep hurt that never seems to heal, painful words that come from children to other children, and experiences repressed but very real. And they often lead to devastation. And we've seen it time and time again. It leads to drug abuse and alcohol abuse, and even a lot of times, and more times than we even care to think about, in our young people, attempted suicide. And reality is that we just aren't very good at mending broken hearts, mostly because it takes risk and sacrifice to do so. And, you know, most of the time we're so caught up in ourselves, we don't have time for others. It makes me think about Scripture, and in Matthew, Jesus talks about the future and really the beginning of the end. He says that wickedness will cause hearts to turn cold, and that really scares me, because it seems that is precisely what we see happening all over the world when you look at the situation on a worldwide map and you think about what's going on over in Russia and situations like that. You know, sin has broken the hearts of so many. And kind of let me ask you this. How can we keep our hearts from breaking? You know, one answer is, as some people will say, well, just don't have a heart. Just live your life and go about it the way you want to do it and have fun doing it and don't worry about anything. Well, if you don't have a heart, it can't break, can it? Yeah, that's right. And I guess we've all been there before. We've all been hurt and responded by saying, well, just forget it. I don't care. You know, one of the things that we talk about at UMS in our character ed and leadership classes is we don't use those words, I don't care. I just don't care. We just don't do that. We don't do it. And what we've said in the past is when we've been hurt, we would just say, well, forget it. Well, I'm tired of hurting and pain and all these difficulties. I'm not going to love anybody. I'm not going to get close to anybody again because every time I do, I get burned. And what you generally say after that is I've learned my lesson and it's just not worth it to care. Well, when you get hurt enough and your heart turns cold, it just won't let anybody in. Is that what happened to our world in the past? Our hearts have been broken so many times that we just don't care anymore. It seems so in many instances, but when you see our young people today and the passion they have for being the best they can be and knowing the difference in right is right and wrong is wrong, we see a change coming to our world. But you know, we can be assured that removing our hearts is not the answer. If we're not caring, if we're not loving, then we're not living. That's one of the things that really struck me about Don Creasy when I met him years ago. You could tell when he talked to you, he looked you in the eye, and he didn't even know me from Adam's house yet when I first met Don. But when he looked at you and he talked to you and he shared with you what he believed and how he believed our children were our future and that they could change the world and change those broken hearts and they could be able to mend broken hearts. You know, after all, it is in our hearts that Christ resides, and therein lays the answer. How do you mend a broken heart? As Don Creasy told me that day, only Jesus Christ can do that. It's not how, it's who. You see, Christ came into this world to mend broken hearts, and he's good at it. Let me tell you, he's really, really good at it. Whether it can be a tax collector in a sycamore tree, an alcoholic trying to find his next drink, or a thief trying to take your last dime. Whether it be loneliness, suffering, hurt, or sorrow, Jesus Christ can mend it. He can fix it because you know what? His love will never fail us. You know, we talked about Don Creasy a lot, the folks in Layton, Alabama that have lost their leader, a man who changed lives. You know, we have those men in our community today. They're called coaches. And those coaches love your children, and they will help you mend a broken heart, I can promise you. Don't ever be afraid to trust your coach to put an arm around a child when that child's hurt. Dalt, thank you for taking care of us today and appreciate everything you do. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time next week.